All right, time for a Gaza Corner. It's a minute after 11 o'clock. We do Gaza Corner around this time every Saturday night. And although it's named after Gaza in Palestine, it is a show which, segment which can be about the Maghreb, about the Balkans, about the greater Middle East. And tonight it will be about the Balkans and a bit of the Middle East. It's a couple of articles which you can find right now at tangents.com. Just go in the far right-hand column. You'll see them there. In 2004, I traveled to Syria. At that time, I'd never been there. I was curious. I also was thinking I might want to produce a music tour there for Tangents listeners like I do in Turkey, or have done in Turkey. I'm not doing them this year. So I traveled to Syria with my girlfriend, Clara, and we spent time in Aleppo, in homes, and other cities, which now, as of this moment, are reduced to rubble. And there has been unimaginable human suffering and death in cities which I have really fond memories. 2004 was also the first year I visited Turkey. And as I say, most years I produce a Tangents Turkey, a music tour. And the last few of those tours, I visited Diyarbakir, which is the spiritual capital of the Kurds, located in the southeast of the country. I took one Tangents Turkey music group into the old city within Diyarbakir. It's called Sur. It's the historic district. It's got winding alleyways. I have this terrific memory of having the best lahmacun I've ever had. Lahmacun is this baked flat bread usually with lamb and olive oil, tomatoes, garlic, tomato paste, paprika, mint, parsley. Am I forgetting anything? Ay, so good. But today, the historic district of Sur is a war zone, with some homes and mosques reduced to rubble. Diyarbakir's mayor says 70% of the inhabitants of the old historic district have fled. There are a couple of articles that I think are good ones to get caught up on this crisis. One is in the website IRIN News, IRINnews.org, which is a organization dedicated to providing information about humanitarian crises that are very hard for the general public to learn about. And there's an article by Jody Hilton called Turkey's Hidden Humanitarian Crisis, and that was published last Wednesday. Another article was by Al Jazeera by David Lepeska on January 31st. That was called Kurds in Turkey Caught in the Crossfire. These are important articles because Turkey seals off the areas under military siege and curfew from all outsiders, including journalists, including humanitarian organizations. For 2 months now, the heart of Diyarbakir, again, this old historic district called Sur, Diyarbakir itself is a city of a million people, but the historic area of Diyarbakir has been under 24-hour curfew and near constant military assault by the Turks. According to local estimates from the Al Jazeera article, some 20,000 people have fled the old town. 1,500 shops have closed or been destroyed. Some 10,000 people have been put out of work. This is the way Jody Hilton's story in the IRIN News starts out. She says, as fighting intensified in the old city of Sur, Turkish authorities imposed a curfew that forced 75-year-old Niyaz Tanlikulu from his home. Narrow cobblestone alleys that used to echo the happy cries of street football, football, of course, is soccer, became the scene of deadly skirmishes between the security forces and the youth wing of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, the PKK. Tanlikulu moved to a different part of Sur, that's spelled S-U-R, to a district near the ancient UNESCO-listed stone walls, these massive stone walls that separate historical Diyarbakir from the new town. And he went there to seek refuge with his daughter. That was 2 months ago, but last week the fighting and round-the-clock restrictions spread to his new neighborhood, leaving him homeless once again. Flanked by just a radiator, a mattress, and his six-year-old granddaughter, Elif, he was standing on the pavement and waiting, and he didn't know what for. Quote, he says, "We are all desperate," the old man said. "We don't know where we can go." If you go to the Tangents website in the far right-hand column where the articles are linked, if you go to the first article that's linked and hit it, you'll find the article and a lot of photographs. There is a photograph of this man, Niaz Tanlikolu, and with his granddaughter, Elif, just on the street with their few belongings. And his picture is quite, I think, quite wonderful in that he's beautifully attired in the traditional wardrobe of a Kurd. He would have been dressed the same if you went back 100 years, these beautiful baggy pants. And I would love when I would travel and see people dressed this way. Kurdish human rights organizations say that fighting across southeastern Turkey has displaced 200,000 people in the last 2 months alone. This is in Turkey. 200,000 people have been displaced. This is mass displacement. There are no camps. There are no camps for these people. There's little aid. In fact, no international awareness of what's actually going on, or almost no international awareness of what's going on, as the EU, the United States, have not really done anything to call attention to this besides a couple of words to say it's not very nice and things like that, which don't really amount to much. Entire neighborhoods have been destroyed in the southeast. Recent images of Sur, of the towns Şişli and Silopi, evoke the devastation of neighboring Syria. Turkish President Erdogan has vowed to continue the military assault, dispatching tanks, urban assault vehicles, and waves of troops to root out Kurdish fighters street by street. Erdogan said, quote, "You will be annihilated in those houses, those buildings, those ditches which you have dug." He said this last December. "Our security forces will continue this fight until it has been completely cleansed." Of course, and this is me speaking, for every person, for every Kurd killed, it's my opinion that the seed is planted for many more to rise up. Al Jazeera reports that among Kurds in Diyarbakir, the consensus seems to be that rather than undermining the fighters and muting anti-Turkey sentiment among Kurds, Erdogan's military operations in the southeast have inflamed it. Quote, "Everything changed with these kinds of operations, especially among the people in these neighborhoods," said veteran Kurdish journalist Vejdi Erbey. Quote, "Now there's more anger. Also, these fighters getting killed and their bodies in the street just lying there for days. This is something people won't forget," unquote. One such instance is the death of Mesut Seviktek, whose dead body laid on a Sur street for 3 weeks, inspiring his brother Ihsan, as well as his mother and sister, to go on a 20-day hunger strike. Finally, the state allowed the family to collect Seviktek's body and bury him. Ihsan's eldest son, only 14 years old, recently left home to join the fighting, following in the footsteps of two of Ihsan's younger brothers. Quote, "I have 6 children and 11 younger sisters and brothers, and if all of them made the same decision, I would support them because all of them are slaves here," says Ihsan, a 42-year-old shopkeeper. Quote, "We never know when or how we will die, but at least this way it is honorable. We won't fall on our knees for the AKP ruling government." On Monday, this past Monday, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Ziad Riad al-Hussein, brought attention to the conflict when he called for an investigation into a shooting by Turkish security forces on apparently unarmed civilians in Şişli, that's spelled C-I-Z-R-E. It's another Kurdish-majority city under curfew. The incident, he said, was, quote, "extremely shocking," unquote. It was caught on video. Turkey and the PKK have fought an on and off war since 1984 until a historic ceasefire in 2013. The peace process broke down last July when, in my opinion, Erdogan decided his best chance to win a November snap election after his party lost in June. Now, you call Turkey a democracy, but he didn't like the results of the June election, so he, okay, snap election, let's have a new one. Well, what he did was he restarted the war against the Kurds, taking a page out of Election 101, the textbook of Election 101, which says, rulers are reelected in times of war. His cynical plan worked as Erdogan's AK party won in convincing fashion. However, the victory has come at a great cost as the Turkish government and the PKK are now further apart than they've been in decades. You'd have to go back to the 1990s to see this kind of division between the Kurds and the Turkish government. At least 220 Kurdish civilians, including 33 children, have been killed in the last 6 months, according to the opposition and pro-Kurdish People's Democratic Party, the HDP. Turkish authorities report a similar number of security force personnel killed during the same period. I believe a much higher number of Kurdish PKK-associated fighters have likely been killed, but there are no reliable numbers. This past week has seen a surge in displacement in Diyarbakir. Turkey has not set up camps for the displaced Kurds, unlike what Turkey has done for Syrian refugees in Turkey. According to IRIN News, no international organizations have offered to help as yet. A mother by the name of Fariye Cukur, spelled C-U-K-U-R, has been spending her days on the stage of a public hall in Diyarbakir. You can see a photo of her at the Tangent's website in the far right-hand column. She's clutching a photograph of her 16-year-old daughter, Razarin. She and other mothers are demanding that the authorities release their children's bodies, which they believe to be rotting inside Sur. The high school student was in Sur studying for her university entrance exams. She was trapped in the city. When there's a curfew, you cannot escape. Fighting began and a curfew, as I say, was imposed. Witnesses said she was shot in the head by a government sniper. For 20 days, quote, for 20 days, her body has been lying in the street, unquote, says the mother. In Cizre, politicians from the HDP have declared a hunger strike to call attention to the dead and wounded civilians who they say cannot be evacuated thanks to another curfew. Curfew is really a polite term for the word military siege. And finally, I want to quote Amnesty International's Turkey researcher Andrew Gardner, who said long-term displacement is a concern as more and more homes and businesses are wrecked across the southeast of Turkey. Quote, these are densely populated residential neighborhoods where tanks are being used, heavy artillery, which will cause casualties to ordinary residents. He said, citing allegations that security forces have been reckless or targeted civilians, quote, we do know that lots of people who are not carrying guns have been killed and injured, small children, women, elderly people who don't fit the regular profile for fighters, unquote. Gardner said civilians in the areas under curfew who need medical care or food cannot get it. Cuts in water, electricity, and mobile internet signals are becoming common in Kurdish areas across southeastern Turkey. Quoting Gardner, all these things put together are starting to look like collective punishment. He is Amnesty International's Turkey researcher, Andrew Gardner. And the mother, Fahriye Cukur, the mother still waiting to bury her daughter, agrees. She says, quote, they are killing our children. Our only crime is to be a Kurd, unquote. When I was in Sur, the historic district of Diyarbakir that is under military assault right now, as we speak, I went to a Kurdish cultural center, and I bought a few albums they recommended to me. And I want to play a track from one of the artists. This is an artist by the name of Maruf, M-A-R-U-F. He is singing about a massacre that occurred to the Kurds in the 1930s. A 91.7, this is Maruf on Gaza Corner.
شرق والمجيب الدريان حر دريان
That is a very special style of singing in Kurdish culture that is dying out. It's an older generation that is really not being followed up with by the current generation. It's a style called dengbej, dengbej, D-E-N-G-B-E-J. Deng means sound and bej, word. Dengbej. And it's always a story. It can be a story about love. It can be a story about heartbreak. In many cases, sadly, with the Kurds, it is about heartbreak. And this was about a massacre in the Zilan River where the blood was flowing, a massacre dating back to the 1930s, sung by Maruf, M-A-R-U-F. And when you see these people do it live, which I've seen, they kind of undulate. It's almost like circular breathing. They tell the story. It could be 8 minutes worth. It could be whatever, and it's like they never take a breath. It's truly remarkable.